Welcome to Profiles in Prosperity, the leading podcast for residential service contractors, sponsored by Service Roundtable and hosted by David Heimer.
Hi, this is David Heimer. Today we're speaking with Eric Dutton, founder and president of Dutton Plumbing in California. We did our very first podcast with Eric years ago. It's a great episode, still useful to listen to, and it remains one of our most popular episodes. So I invited Eric back for another episode, and he graciously accepted. This time I asked Eric if he would tell us about five rules, just five rules. He could probably give us 20, but I asked him for just his top five, the five rules that he follows in his business. So I'm excited to hear what he's got for us. So Eric Dutton, welcome to Profiles in Prosperity.
Thanks, Dave. Good to be back. I'm very flattered.
When we were talking earlier, you said, I'm pretty good at bar talk, but when you give me five specific rules, I'm not so good with that.
Yes, I did say that.
And so where are you getting these five rules from?
Well, you know, I'm always willing to participate, and I love everything you do, and any chance to talk to David Heimer, I'll dive on that in a minute. Getting the cold sweats, you know, like, oh my God, it's like the night before test day. I have to actually come up with something structured and some content. And what I do, I normally just talk from the heart, and I just kind of on the fly talk, and that's something I think I do pretty well. And what dawned on me, I was in my office and I looked at the wall, and we have posters everywhere. Our core values are everywhere in the company. And quite coincidentally, I have five core values, and they are what drive me, the company, and the culture here, and what makes us very unique, very different. And if there were going to be five rules of how I run business, those would be it. I mean, we could talk all day on KPIs and all the numbers that everybody takes granted and assumes, but I think this is the extra stuff, the soft stuff that are unseen sometimes, unspoken, or even not even identified rules that we all should embrace, because I feel it takes you from good to great. It takes you to the next level of the identity of your company and the culture of your company.
So what's number one?
Number one is be amazing. And that's a broad statement. And that starts, I mean, it's the simple things. It can start with your technicians, making sure that they are in complete uniform. And I don't mean just clean pair of jeans and a t-shirt tucked in. I want them to stand out. I want them to not just stand out in a bunch of plumbers. I want them to stand out in a room full of business professionals, where they're polished black shoes, black belts, unstained work pants that are clean, pressed, shirts tucked in, ID badges, clean shaven as much as possible. We do allow facial hair, but you know, you have to be groomed, and just looking the part. And I think more importantly is feeling the part, feeling the pride that they have being part of the brand is the amazing that I interact with daily, because we do outbound happy calls after every service call. CSRs email those out a couple times a day, and I get those and I read those. That fuels me, or reading online reviews. And that's kind of where the rubber meets the road on the amazing part. And just operating 100% is not even good enough. You have to go to the next level, be ridiculous to the point when outsiders see it, they just don't get it. That is the embodiment of amazing, at least my perception is anyway on that. And number two, and I'm just going in order here. And again, most companies, some have core values. And if you do, great. If you don't, I guess that's okay too. You need a smarter guy than me to tell you why they're important. And then there's companies that have like 50 core values. And I think that's just people trying too hard. If you can't look at it, glance at it, and spit it off the top of your head real quick, they're not going to stick. You got to have core values people can get their head around. And anyway, that's kind of what we have. And the next one is ever evolving. All change is good. And I've found in my career that anytime there's change, those nights where you stay awake at night because somebody quit or something happened, ultimately you ride that out. At the end of that bumpy ride, it got better. It actually was an improvement. And I feel a lot of us business owners, and I'm not going to pick on blue collar industry, but you know, we all tend to be kind of redneck kind of, you know, guys. Most of us start as workers, and we have that not necessarily the most open-minded approach to things. And change is always seen as a negative. Nobody likes change. Well, I feel, especially in modern times with fast paces, everything is, if you're not ready to bob and weave, if you're not ready to change, you are just going to be passed up or eaten up, one or the other, because you have to be ready to pivot and move. Otherwise, you're at a total disadvantage. And especially in our industry, it's getting more and more sophisticated. And you look at the players out there, and I'm just so impressed at the other companies out there that I'm familiar with, and I'm sure there's hundreds more I'm not familiar with, and people have their A game going. So part of that is being able to evolve, you know, and kind of what Charlie Greer says, Tech Daddy is evolve or die. And that is our second core value.
So ever evolving, all change is good.
Change is good. And I at one point was thinking of modifying that to good change is good, and all change does ultimately turn into good anyway, from my experience. And you know, it's just you can't ignore it. You can't pretend it's not there. And a lot of us like to bury our heads in the sand and ignore the change, but it's going to happen with you or without you. And you better get on board because the train's leaving the station. So be ready to change with the times because it's going to happen. And the third one, which I think this one is probably one of the more powerful ones, and they're all powerful, so I don't want to pick favorites, but family culture for better or worse. And what that means to me, and they always have these little twists to it, which we have a sense of humor here, so we always try to carry that through most of our messages. And
yeah, that one has an element of humor to it. You're right.
It does. And you know, because we all always remember, you know, family gatherings where you got the drunk uncle and you got the, you know, the, this, right. You know, the guy who parks on the lawn. And it's just part of the color of the company. There's some companies, I won't mention the names, that I know. And actually, you know, too, there's very military. It's like everybody's going to have clean shaven, flat top haircuts and, you know, at attention and be inhuman, cold, sterile and super professional. And that's great, except I think what you're doing there with your customers especially, you're turning yourself into a commodity and take the emotion, which we're all driven by emotion. We're emotional beings. So that family culture starts within, and people feel connected to the brand, connected to the managers, the owner, and then people will do business with people they like. And if you want somebody to do what you want in the field at the level you want it, you can create rules and regulations and force them to do it and try to catch them not doing it and punish them for it. Or you can get them to buy in and feel the emotion of it and get passionate about it like you do. And it happens automatically. And I'm so blessed that I have such a staff. I read the reviews and I just get excited. It just, people are floored. People are amazed. Ultimately too, that then transfers into the customer base. So our entire marketing message at this company, that our slogan, the plumber you send to your mom's house, and when we do our branding, which is a lot of radio, it's always fun, banter, interaction between myself and my mother, kind of, you know, stage phone calls to the company and me answering it. And it's very fun, really cool stuff. It creates a relationship with our listeners.
Sometime.
Yeah, I believe they're all on YouTube. I believe is where they're accessible, even though they're not videos. But, you know, we have dozens of them. And we have customers constantly referencing them and wanting to know about mom and asking questions about that. But you bring them into the emotion of the company and allowing them to hear that. And we have very little selling on that stuff. And I think a lot of us fall into that trap of, if we're going to put out a message, it's going to say half off, buy one, get one free, act now, you know, all that stuff is just white noise in the background because people hear it all the time from everybody. I would rather use that time to build a relationship and create that continuity and just create that rapport with the listeners, because all the advertising in the world cannot break plumbing, but if they remember you when it does break, they're going to want to call Dutton Plumbing because that was the company they know. They have a relationship. They hear it every morning on the way to work and every night on the way home when they're listening to the radio. And I feel if you can incorporate that family culture throughout your company and then have it go into your customer base, it's all good after that. It just has paid dividends for us. You know, repeat customers, close to 80%, 70 to 80% turn customers. And the only thing that works better than that is just the good service. You know, you go out there to the same people, you take care of them and treat them like family. I feel that's one of the things that we do really well. We have employees with habits, maybe showing up late, and we have, you know, like you say, personal drama that happens, and we have to support that. And that spreads into our customers as well. We all love to go to that customer who spends $5,000, and we love those customers, but we also go to these customers who are in need, maybe a senior citizen on a fixed income that has a bad situation with no way of paying for it. And I think that's where we then need to step up and take ownership of that and get them up and running. Don't be there for the money. Be there for the customer. Take care of your family. Create that with your customers, with your employees. And I don't mean going out doing free plumbing all the time, but our guys have leeway. If they identify a situation, somebody in need, they're empowered to take care of that customer. And yep. I never second guess it, and it's never worked against us. And it feels good to do that. And we like to give back that way. So we don't do it for airtime. We don't do it for an article written up. In fact, we're really bad at getting publicity for stuff like that. So at this point, we've never gotten publicity for any of the work that we donate to people. We just do it. And I think the internal publicity we get from the heart, that our guys are part of that and they feel the love of that, is more powerful than any marketing message we would harvest off of that and kind of maybe even cheapen it a little bit, you know? Yeah, I'll take the publicity if it happens organically, but I'm not going to chase it. I wouldn't dirty it that way.
What goes around comes around. When you dish out good, good tends to come back to you, doesn't it?
I do agree, 100%. And then moving on, our fourth is professional, but not perfect. And that, you know, and again, a little humor there. What I'm saying there is when you go back to amazing, that's us being professional. I mean, professional. But it also, part of that amazing, how it ties into this core value, is perfection is not required to be amazing. In fact, when we're with a customer, we screw up. Yeah, we do. And maybe we burp or something, or maybe we drop something, or we scratch their floor, or whatever. Things happen. We back into their car. That's happened. Oops. Sorry about that. We're professional. We're not perfect, you know? And we embrace that. We don't want to be that sterile, emotionless face at the door, a robot. We want to be that guy who's quirky, maybe, who's got his personal style. And it may not be the most professional. You know, I look at our guys, we have a great team. They're, you know, on our website, we have everybody there. But you look at them and not the prettiest guys, right? I mean, we're plumbers and, you know, it's okay. Perfection is not required because nobody's perfect. And the people that pretend they are being frauds. We know that. And I think customers appreciate that you embrace your uniqueness and your flaws, because we all have them. And I think we all love it when people point it out about themselves, because it makes them more human and we can identify. Because I'm not perfect, and I sure hate being around people that are, you know, because most of them are in denial.
Yeah, they're annoying.
Yes, because it's not even true. They think they're perfect, and they're not. And the ones that will not admit fault, I just don't feel comfortable around that, you know. It's what you're trying to impress. What wall are you building for what reason? And I think we encourage people to be themselves. And you know what? It's great because it shows our customers love our individual employees, from our sales staff all the way down to our level one installers. We get reviews and compliments constantly. And it's all about something personal. It's not always about the work. It's about something he said or something he did. And it's just that special twist that people bring to it. And it's not about being perfect. It's about being yourself. And I think that's how that translates for us.
Yep, it's a good one, and funny.
Yeah, well, we always have humor. And then the last one is three letters, GSD, and it stands for Get Crap Done. Let's say get stuff done. It's GSD, somewhat efficiently, okay? And, you know, I've had people comment or coach me on my core values and how it should say GSD at the highest level and professional, always unwavering, and family culture, and you know, and getting all these strong words. But you know me, Dave, that's not me. I'm a person, and I think we all are. And so when we say we get stuff done, we do. We're a company of trigger pullers. One of the things that we all suffer from is we overanalyze, and the paralysis by analysis. And
yep.
I've always been the guy who says, what? Sure, let's try it. You know, what's the worst case scenario? It doesn't work. And the best way to find out if something isn't going to work is just to do it, fail, get over it, and move forward. And you can do that in much less time than dwelling on it and sitting still. So any backslide you might take from that mistake, first of all, it's a lesson. You won't ever forget it. And I guarantee it clears the board for the next project. You don't have it sit there lingering in the back of your head. You know, Tony Robbins talks about that as well, about how do you find out? You just do it. And we've always done that. And have we made mistakes? Absolutely. But then we go back to our ever-evolving, so we're ready to switch it up and try something new. And so these core values, and that was the fifth one, and all five of these just kind of interact and work with each other. It's sort of a dynamic list that is constantly evolving, kind of like the second one ever evolving. So it's kind of exciting. And these core values, it took a while to build these because we started with a big list and we've gone over it and over. And I'll never forget the day that as Eric Falconer and I, we finally filtered it down to these. I remember where I was. I remember the time of day, and it's burned into my brain, permanent memory, because it was emotional for me. I felt this connect to who I am. So it now connects to my company, and it's genuine. And I think it's so important that these core values, and any of us who have core values, really do ones that matter to you and what you want your team to see and feel. And let go of that big, long, stupid list of politically correct buzzwords that everybody has hanging on their office walls, integrity and honesty. And sure, we assume that, right? But yeah. That's the five rules I got. And they're all about emotion, and they're all about that invisible, soft thing rule. Not something that's easy to measure, but stuff that pays off and it adds to everything else you do.
It's interesting you said how these connect with you, because as you were going through them, I was thinking about how you embody these goals. You know, frankly, I think you are an amazing person. You're clearly a person that has always been willing to try almost anything. And I mean that in the right way. You endorse change and you're not afraid of change. And then family culture, you've always been about family. From the first time that I met you, you had family stories for me and talked about how you feel about the people that you work with and how you're close to them and how you think about them and worry about them. And it is just like a family. Professional, but not perfect. That's sort of the humor that you bring to things. And then getting stuff done somewhat efficiently, that also describes you. So it's great. It's a fabulous list. I got to believe that people in your company identify very well with it. It's great stuff.
Yeah, like any company, as we grow and evolve and gone through a lot of changes and the last couple of years, a lot of staff rotation, and that happens with the growth, I think. The people that stick and get behind it are the people with these values. And it's up to us as the leaders to really translate these and push these down or up or sideways to our staff so they feel it. And that's a tough one, too. I'll tell you, when we get caught up in our day-to-day and we're looking at balance sheets and we're trying to do this, that, and the other, we lose touch with us sometimes. So it's very important that we revisit that. And like I said, we've probably got 30 of these hanging throughout the company. Pretty much every room has one or two in it, so people can just be exposed to it. And then I do my best to live it. That's, I think, the best endorsement of the core values.
All right, Eric, thank you so much for doing this. I knew it would be great. It'll be another very popular podcast, I'm sure. It's stuff that people can take and think about and really use in their businesses. And it's very nice of you to be willing to share it with everyone.
You're welcome, and thank you, David.
We're always looking for good ideas and interviews for our podcast. If you have an idea or maybe you think you should be interviewed, just shoot an email to profilesinprosperity@serviceroundtable.com. That's profilesinprosperity@serviceroundtable.com. If you think what we're doing has any value, it would be very helpful if you would give us a great rating on iTunes. Thanks for your support. Hope to see you again soon. Bye.